Hey, welcome back to the My Wave podcast. We are super excited to have in studio today Tony Puente. I can't wait to hear his story of his wave. And man, it was just great right before the show getting to know him. I don't know Tony super well, but I'm excited to interview him and find out what is his wave story and surf history. But I do want to thank Billy behind the scenes with Thorpe Creative. You can follow what he does at Thorpe Creative on Instagram. Also, if you have been listening for a while and you really enjoy what you're hearing, you can support us financially by going to buymeacoffee.com/mywave. There you'll be able to buy me a $5 cup of coffee. It's virtual, but hey, if you want to get together and grab an actual coffee, I've got some great places here in the Wilmington area. I'd love to meet up with you, but buymeacoffee.com/mywave. And lastly, I want to give a thanks to this episode's sponsor, which is Shredder Surf Camp. Here we are right now recording this at the beginning of the summer, and surf camps are wide open and it's been great. And so if you're interested in learning to surf, a private lesson, small group private lesson, or four-day camp, check out Shredder Surf Camp online at shreddersurf.com. Tony, it is so great to have you on this program today.
Gracias.
Yeah. Hablas español, ¿sí?
Sí.
Muy bien. My Spanish isn't great. Yo quiero aprender más.
Así, poco a poco.
So, you speak English, though.
Yes.
This episode's not going to all be in Spanish, but that would be a challenge for me.
I didn't know that.
My English isn't even that good. So, Tony, what Spanish, where does that come from?
Well, I was born and raised in Cuba.
Okay.
And I immigrated to the U.S. in 1960 when Castro took over.
Okay.
Been living wonderfully and happily here in the U.S.
Well, awesome. Bienvenidos.
Yeah, I'm proud to be an American.
Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome to hear. So, how old were you when you immigrated?
I was almost 9.
Okay. Okay.
Did not know English.
None at all.
Came over with $300, my mom, dad, and my brother, and you know, it's a land of opportunity.
Yeah.
We came here to dream, and dreams have come true.
That's fantastic. What do you do for a living now?
Well, I'm a professor of psychology at UNCW, and I'm a clinical neuropsychologist.
Wow. He just said big words. Like, I'm thinking gnarly, shred, and you... so take it easy on me. Take it easy on me then.
Okay.
That's fantastic. Where did you get your degree from?
Well, I did my undergraduate at University of Florida and then my PhD at the University of Georgia.
Oh, wow.
Went back for some training at the University of Florida Hospital, and I ended up here in Wilmington in 1981.
How about that? In Wilmington in 81. Now, you've seen a change then in the Wilmington area.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, there were no crowds in the lineup.
Right.
Eastwood Road was 2 lanes. And it was all woods.
Oh, wow.
So, oh, my goodness. Times have changed. Wilmington was basically a town that was recovering from a significant depression.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, with I-40, the university, and the movie studio,
mm-hmm.
boy, has Wilmington really changed.
You've seen a change in history. That'd be interesting just to have a podcast of that, to hear your perspective on what's going on. And, you know, there's hardly any land in the New Hanover County area that's available to build, and they're building wherever they can.
That's right.
Yeah, and that does make for a crowded lineup.
Yes, and especially crowded since the pandemic.
Yes.
We sometimes call them COVID surfers. They've come out of the woods, and boy, the lineup is crowded, but it's also a friendly vibe out there.
Yes, yes. Now, you and I have met. We've been in the water together several times, exchanged haze, how's it going? Rice Beach Longboard Association a few years back. And so when you moved to Wilmington, did you start surfing here, learning to surf here, or did you surf prior to that?
No, I started surfing a long time ago, like 1964,
mm-hmm.
on a balsa wood surfboard that weighed about 40 pounds.
No way. So right before we had the interview with Bob that we were talking to, and he got his first board in 1965, and it was a homemade balsa wood board.
Yeah, you actually, when you paddle out, the waves parted for you.
So.
It was like a battleship.
Oh my goodness, that's awesome. Did you make it, or where'd you pick it up?
No, I picked it up. It was in an old, basically wood version of one of the early Velsi surfboards, which I wish we still had, but you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just borrowed it and been surfing ever since.
And where did you say that was that you borrowed it?
Well, actually, we moved to Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
And started surfing in Jacks Beach and also St. Augustine as well.
Yeah.
So
very cool.
Yeah.
So that would have been mid to late 60s?
Yeah. We started in 1964 and continued ever since then. I surfed a little bit less during my time at the University of Georgia because mm-hmm. I was inland and
right.
and also school really took up a lot of time. But outside of that, it's been continuous throughout the years.
Yeah.
In fact, I moved to Wilmington partially because I wanted to work at a university and I wanted to continue surfing. and you know, the interview was going well, but once they took me to Wrightsville Beach, I said, like, oh, okay, where's the contract? Let's sign the darn thing.
Yeah. Nice. So you've been teaching since 1981 at UNCW?
That's correct.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you've seen not just a change in the growth of New Hanover County in the Wilmington area, but surfing Wrightsville Beach in the early, mid-80s. What was that like?
Well, shortboards, no leash,
uh-huh.
no crowds.
Yeah.
Columbia Street was it. Almost nobody went down to Crystal Pier.
Really?
And we heard through the grapevine that there's a place called the Inlet.
Uh-huh.
But you had to walk forever.
That's a hike.
It was a hike even in those days because where the Holiday Inn was basically a prior inlet, and it filled up, and then they built basically the Holiday Inn there.
Really?
And you had to walk from the Holiday Inn or, better yet, take a bicycle, and that was just a long haul. So mm-hmm. it was rarely, rarely surfed.
Wow. Yeah, I actually had the chance to surf the inlet really for the first time last year. It was amazing. It was a big east swell with offshore conditions, and it was like a different world. Like, I'm not at Wrightsville Beach.
Well, since this is a podcast, let's make sure that people hear that there are a lot of sharks there.
Tons.
Tons of sharks.
Tons. And we're not just saying that to scare you from going up there. We're talking actual sharks.
Well, you do see little baby sharks in the water from time to time, especially at the bottom. But, you know, yeah. No, I'm sure like everything else.
Yeah, they're out there.
Yeah. The problem is that you have to park, you know, in a very small parking lot. Mm-hmm. You have to get there super early. Then you got to walk a long ways. And then right. you got to paddle, you know, a couple hundred, 300 yards.
Yes.
So it's a bit of an effort.
It is.
And you can't really see the wave. Mm-hmm. So you have to just kind of estimate, and only good knowledge and a lot of faith, hope, and maybe a little charity by nature
yes.
will get you what you need.
Yeah. I've lived here 10, 12, 11 years and have only been there once and wow. scored. And it's etched in my brain. It's not like if I had the chance to share on the podcast my wave story, it's not that session, though they were really fun. But yeah, I'd love to see that firing again. Yeah.
I hope to see you out there.
I hope so. I hope so. So we bump into each other most times at South End.
Yep, at the South End, and the wonderful, organic, very, very spiritual Surf Church.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, Surf Church is, we were talking just briefly before we started, it has ministered to so many because of its organic and simple nature. It's been refreshing. Surf Church, Wrightsville Beach, 7:30 under Crystal Pier.
Although I have to be honest,
yeah.
Kyle, just this last Sunday, I was catching some nice 3-footers and decided to take a little break.
Right.
And one of my, you know, friends, I really don't think they were really a friend, said, "You're not going to church. You're going to get a donut."
That's right.
And I found Jesus and a donut.
Hey, that's a win-win. They're both super sweet. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, Tony, I appreciate you coming in. I asked you this past Sunday?
Yeah.
It was. So we're just 3 days away from me dropping this conversation on you. And so I'd love to talk more about how you've seen, you know, surfing at Wrightsville Beach and elsewhere change. And maybe that'll work in through the conversation. But where are we going for the wave that you would like to relive? Reride.
Well, I will tell you that I think about waves a lot. You know, sometimes when I'm seeing patients, sometimes when I'm teaching, and sometimes when my wife is giving me a long list of chores. But you know, I do think about waves a lot. And, you know, I think of a 3-minute wave in Saladitas is a long left, wonderful. I think of the inlet. Where you have 300 yards lefts and you just kind of...
But lots of sharks.
Yeah, which is just unbelievable. Of course, it doesn't happen very frequently.
Right.
And then maybe I'd like to share maybe a different kind of story.
All right.
And that is probably the most exciting thing that I did when I was president of the American Psychological Association a couple of years ago. People said, what's the most important thing that you did during that time? 120,000 members, has been around 125 years. It's a big, big charge. I said, the greatest thing that I ever accomplished is I served in 3 continents in 1 week doing my duties as president. It's like, what?
No way.
So I served here. I served in Lima. And I served in Spain. And I thought to myself.
In the same week.
And I thought to myself, wow, I have arrived.
Wow. Now, let's back up again. You're blowing my mind. Well, maybe that's not a good thing to say to a neuropsychologist. But the APA is a big organization. Yeah. You said 120-some thousand members?
Yes, yeah, 120,000, 122,000, something like that to be exact. And I was his 125th president.
Really?
And second one from North Carolina. Huh. And I'm really proud that not only am I the first Spanish-speaking president, but the first surfer to be president of APA. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Which people had no idea what that was. But, you know.
But surfing is, how would you describe surfing from a psychological perspective? Because the conversation I have with lots of people, and I'm sure you have, is that when they step off the beach into the water and paddle out, everything gets left behind. Like, what would you describe that as? I mean, how would you term that? As is it just a release? Is it what is it?
I'm not entirely sure. You know, here's somebody that does research and publishes scientific articles, and I can't really fully explain it. But as best as I can tell you, in modern psychological terms, is what we often call mindfulness. Mm-hmm. So being present, being here, being now, just experiencing the moment. Don't think too much about the past. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about the future. Just engage in the present. And Kyle, imagine one of those waves at the inlet. You get on it, you paddle, you catch the wave, and you don't really know what's going on. And you finish it, you just kind of go, wow, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you try to backtrack your memory and figure out what exactly you did, it doesn't come easily because it's like your brain actually shuts off. And to be really exact, your cerebral cortex, the outside part, which really makes us all human think, it just kind of like goes dormant.
Mm.
And the basic parts of us are more instinctual, takes over.
Mm.
And when it's done, it's like, wow, you felt like you haven't felt before. I think surfing is not a sport. I don't think it's a hobby. I don't think it's a pastime. I think it's more than even a lifestyle.
Mm.
It's a way of being.
Hmm. You know, I'm going to have to re-listen this podcast because that was, you're spot on. And you put the terms behind what's going on as you are paddling out and taking off. Things do, I mean, so many times in this conversation at this table, time stands still is a phrase that some people, when they go back to that wave, it's like time is standing still, and the setting is burned into their brain where there were some friends, there was a face and a wall and a line and just that sensation of floating or flying or just, you know, it is an amazing, I guess you're not calling it a sport. Just this state of mind.
State of mind.
Yeah.
Let me share with you a couple of stories about state of mind and surfing.
Mm.
Many years ago, one of the people I used to surf with us regularly, Mike Malone, had contracted cancer and it was really on his last leg. And he asks us, one final wish, take me surfing at the North End. Hmm. And he took off on a wave. It was a group effort. Hmm. We pushed him. He took off on a wave. He got up, stretched his arms, looked at the sky. Hmm. That was the last wave he took.
Wow.
So even though I like to talk about a wave that I took, I'd like to share the wave that he took. It was his last wave before he went home and basically died.
Wow.
He found his peace, and he found his journey.
Yeah.
That's what surfing's about.
That's good.
But then the flip side is going to Cuba with my boys with surfboards, which was insanely difficult. They wouldn't let us get the surfboards into the airplane and then out of the airport. And when we finally did, we couldn't transport them. And when we finally found Waves, which is the Hemingway Marina, my boys went surfing, and I was so concerned because I never heard anybody surfing in Cuba, and I wanted to watch, make sure they were okay.
Right.
And out came a soldier with a machine gun. He goes, what are you guys doing? I said, we're riding surfboards. And he goes, what is that? He goes, that is an unregistered boat craft.
I did read an article about this, that surfing is considered
illegal.
Yeah.
So you need to get out of the water or else we're going to arrest you.
My.
So here are two examples of waves that I haven't ridden.
Right.
Other people, of terror on one hand.
Yeah.
And repression. And on the other, release and finding peace inside.
Wow. When we paddle out, we don't think of any, it's kind of a selfish sport, you know, when you think about it, because I want that wave. That's my wave. We're paddle battling and different things, right, getting in position, we're closest to the peak or whatever. But you don't stop and consider until you finally sit down in a situation like this and talk it out, how surfing impacts cultures, how it impacts individuals, and how it's viewed, you know, here, Cuba, your native homeland, and you're not free to enjoy something so sweet, so special. That speaks a lot.
So sad.
Mm-hmm.
Surfing is should not be regulated, at least in that fashion.
Right.
It should be an opportunity for all of us to express our inner selves and find ourselves. It's one place for me that I know that I stop thinking, I stop worrying, and I start living.
Mm.
And a day of surfing is, well, it's just as good as any day that anybody could have.
Oh, that's good. That's powerful. I appreciate that. And I hope those folks that are listening to this podcast, you know, step back from our selfish drive to get in the water and to shred some waves and, you know, step back and realize the gift that we've been given.
Well, since you talk about shredding the waves, of course, we all had different styles of surfing. But one thing that just doesn't make any sense to me, Kyle, is why is it that people get aggro in the water?
Why do they flip the wave off? You ever notice that?
Yeah.
It's like,
what's that all about?
I've always had an issue when I see somebody, not always a young person, and they take off on a wave and they get mad and they flip the wave off. I don't get that.
No, that's not a place for any of that.
No.
Leave all those negative energies, bad karma.
Yeah.
I don't even think you should leave them on the beach. Keep them in the car.
Just kick them out of your life.
Yeah, kick them out of your life. You know, surfing is not where you should be with that kind of attitude.
Yeah. And I don't know. I guess that aggro mentality comes from maybe where you're from, you know, where you've got it's got a dog eat dog peak, you know, you got to fight for it. And you got a local crowd that has that vibe to it. But then when you get to places that are more, you know, hey, we're just here to have a good time. These waves aren't always the biggest, the best, and let's just have fun. And then somebody steps into that, bringing their baggage. And it does change the atmosphere in the water. And it doesn't happen a lot. It's been a while since I've been around somebody that's super just angry.
Maybe the best thing to do is just, you know, like I've said to a couple of these guys, hey, in case you don't know it, Jesus loves you, then this is Wrightsville Beach. No, there's no place for that, you know.
Yeah.
Paddle away, you know. Yeah. Wish them the best.
Yeah.
Go catch your wave.
That's good. That's good advice. So, Tony, where are we going for your wave?
Well, I think that for me, my wave is probably the north end.
Okay.
You know, where you're out there because there's only a few parking spots. There's only a few of your friends.
Yes.
And I think maybe probably my wave is surfing during a hurricane swell with my youngest child and realizing that it was time for him to go to school. And I said, Lucas, you're a good student. You can afford to miss first period.
Yes.
Let's just go ahead and just enjoy ourselves. And it was him and I, and catching, you know, 5-6 foot wave.
Uh-huh.
You just kind of do your thing.
Yeah.
And you look back, you know, there's your son.
Yeah.
Just whooping and hollering, and you go.
Yeah, that's special.
That's why I moved here.
Yes.
So I can bond with my son, so I can bond with the ocean. And maybe more importantly, because sometimes in this frenetic world that we live in, I bonded with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And where I just didn't think. I just was in the moment.
Yes.
How lucky.
Yes. Yeah, so this is a, not just, not one particular wave, but a moment.
A moment.
Sharing a sweet spot, a nice swell, with your son. Was anybody else out there?
No.
Just you two.
Just,
one
yeah.
special moment.
Yeah.
How old was he then?
He was, I think he was a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
At Laney.
Yeah. And just to look back, and he's smiling, and then he takes off probably while you're paddling out, and you hooping at him as he yeah. goes by.
Yeah. The world's a fine place to be part of.
Yes. Yes. So. Have you ever written to that end, like, you know, have you written about surfing in anything?
You know, that's an interesting question. At one point, I actually thought about writing some things for one or two of the magazines, because it's not often that, you know, you have a psychologist or specifically a neuropsychologist that knows a little bit about how the brain works and mm-hmm. enjoys this very special part of one's life. But I've actually chosen not to, Kyle.
Okay.
And you know, I write a lot. I have books in a couple of languages and so forth. But there's something that maybe I just want to keep to myself.
Okay.
And this is one of those, like, you know, I want to share it with me, with my family, with my friends.
Yeah.
And that's enough. As a matter of fact, this is an interesting idea. I was one of the guys that founded the Wrightsville Beach Longboard Association.
Okay.
Back about 2000. And I think I'm one of the only guys from the early group that's never been president.
Huh.
And the reason for that is I don't want to be president. I don't, I just, to me, surfing is something that it should be just enjoyed, experienced, and not done anything more than just that.
Yeah.
So.
That's great perspective and total respect for that. You know, yeah. to keep that, hey, this is, it's not that you're being, I guess you're being private, but you're just enjoying a unique aspect of yourself.
Well, for what it's worth, the only time I've ever done anything, either electronic or in written fashion, about surfing is this podcast.
Is it really? Well,
so,
I'm honored. Yeah.
So it took me from 1964 to 2021 to finally talk about it publicly.
Oh, wow. So you've shared a lot. I'm just going to turn it over to you. Just talk to me. Surfing and your life. We've talked a lot, but I mean, where could we go? What path could we go down that maybe would? Part of this podcast is to educate and to encourage, and so, you know, people listening to this may be new to surfing, maybe have been surfing a while. So I'm assuming all aspects, across the spectrum, newbies to. I don't know. I did interview a former pro on here, so maybe he's listening. I don't know. But let's just talk surfing and life. And
right.
I'm going to sit back. I'm going to be quiet. I'll try.
All right. Sounds good. Well, let's talk about what surfing should mean to people. What should it represent to people? It's an opportunity to be with yourself, to be with nature, and to be with God. I was actually in a surf film for a little tiny bit, and I had a tiny interview. And they asked me what I thought about surfing and the experience of it. And I thought that it was the closest I've ever gotten to God without actually making a specific effort to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like God came to me rather than I actually went to God, which is sometimes what I do on Sundays.
Right.
So here I was just being out there. It was like, you know, Jesus found me. And it's an experience that's sort of hard to describe and internal. I often wonder if the world actually surfed. Wouldn't it be a better place? We wouldn't be killing each other or making some people suffer like we sometimes seem to do as a society. And that's why I came here. I had the opportunity to go elsewhere, and it was a special opportunity to be able to just experience something that centered me. And when I've had the option to go in other places, like, for example, Chapel Hill recruited me in NYU, and it's like, I might lose myself. I might lose my mind. I need to get that anchoring, that center. And I've been married for, I'm not sure, maybe a 100 or 200 years, something like that. I think I was born married. But I will tell you that my wife tells me on a regular basis, wow, the waves must be flat. I said, why is that? You seem cranky.
I love it.
So it's like, no, I'm not cranky, but it has been Northeast forever. And the summertime is like, wow, we must be going through a flat spell, right?
It's winds blowing southwest way too long.
So, well, the alternative, if you want to, you can do some yard work. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? I can't handle that. So surfing is my place. It's my special place. It's why I'm here. And I'm 69, and like I said, I started surfing in 1964. And I was so happy when I was in Saladitas many years ago, and I ran into one of the guys that was one of the stars in Endless Summer. Mm. And actually, I shouldn't tell you this, but I ran into him in the bathroom, public bathroom. He was taking a whiz, and I said to him, I know this is really an inappropriate time. Like, how long do you, he says, how old are you and how long do you expect to surf? He goes, I'm 82, and I think I'll quit when I die.
Did he really?
And I thought to myself, wow, what a whiz. I said, man, the most enlightening whiz I've ever had in my life. In this Mexican rundown bathroom. I just discovered my true self.
Oh my!
Surf till
Billy,
I
do
die.
You have any air conditioning here? Because I'm getting hot. This is that's an amazing encounter.
You know, you're kind of like one of these people that you've always seen in magazines. You look up to, and you find the guy in the bathroom
in Mexico.
In Mexico, in a rundown bathroom, and you say, "Wow, this is your time, Tony. Ask him all those deep questions you've been wondering all these years." It's like, how old are you? 82. When do you quit surfing? I don't think ever. When I die, I guess. So it's like, I said, oh my, I have found my calling right here.
Yeah.
You search in churches, you search in schools, and the truth comes out in the Mexican bathroom. So that's what surfing is all about.
Hey, that's an awesome story. Oh, man, my cheeks hurt. Oh, thank you for sharing that. Now, did he surf as well as La Saladita?
Yeah, he actually went to a place called The Ranch, and he did have, in those days, I didn't know, he had basically what we would call pads. Because he says, my knees are really in horrible shape right now. So it takes me forever to stand up. But other than once I get up, he says, I'm good to go. You know, so he had no problems. I won't share who it is. But, you know, he clearly was 82,
yeah,
arthritic, with Big Surfer Knots, and still stoked about surfing.
That's fantastic.
So, you know, there's hope for all of us.
Absolutely. I was just thinking the same thing. There's hope for me, you know. That's tremendous. Any bumped into anybody else like in the bathroom around the world?
Oh, that's probably one of the most interesting surfing stories that I can share.
Oh man, oh that's great. No, thank you for sharing, you know, that with us, to be able to, you know, capture this. I think it is good. Maybe good for you. Maybe you'll start opening up because you've got a wealth of internalized knowledge. And I think maybe as you crack that open and share a little bit more of that inner self, I think you may be able to help some folks, you know, to find their peace and to find themselves a little bit better. I mean, there's a lot of things in this world that really pull us away from being the best that we can be. And I think what you said in that with, if the world learned to surf, it would be a different place. And I read an article, don't know where I read it. It was talking about surfing in Israel and how Arabs and Jews, Palestinians and Jews, will paddle out. And in this article, they were saying, yeah, he may be Jewish or he may be Palestinian, but in the water, we're all surfers. And how there was just this vibe and this community there in Israel. Maybe I have to find that article and send it to you.
Well, having been to Palestine and Israel, I certainly appreciate the value of that. Mm-hmm. But let me share with you, Kyle, that I've lived in two countries that went communist, of course, Cuba. And then I was living in Grenada, actually one of the first people to live in Grenada in the West Indies. Hmm. Discovered some wonderful waves there.
Really?
I was teaching a medical school, teaching neuroanatomy, and the Cubans came again. It's like I told my wife, the Cubans are coming. Oh. And she goes, no, you're acting like your dad, super paranoid. And it's like, nope. And actually, for what it's worth, on a side note, I asked to leave. And I realized at that point that I did not have my citizenship papers. So I enter the country December 23rd, 1978, illegally. So when people talk about illegal aliens, I am one of those people. And my lovely wife, who I actually ended up leaving earlier because of the communist uprising, has a significant, very, very, very significant case of multiple sclerosis. So she's very infirm, a prior surfer herself. Mm. But here it is, somebody who's lived in two countries that went communist, lost it all, has a very, very, very affected wife who still finds comfort and happiness in the most simple thing of going in the ocean, paddling into a wave, and at the end of the experience saying, I'm fine with life. Mm. And apparently, life is fine with me. So, what else do you want?
Right.
You know, the basics.
Yes. Yeah, when all else is stripped away, what is it that we want?
Just being with yourself.
Yeah.
And then subsequently, if you can be with yourself, and of course that experience is heightened during the possibility of surfing, then you're ready for the world, and you are then in a position to understand and maybe serve the world better.
Mm. That's good. It's good insight. That's good insight. I'd like to hear an article written by, or read an article written about that. Just kidding.
Well, okay, sounds good. I need to go back to a Mexican bathroom
to get some more
wisdom.
There you go. Well, next time you go to Saladitas, I'll go with you.
Okay, sounds good.
Because I would love a 3-minute left. I have been to Chicama, Peru. But I wasn't there to surf. I was there on business, and we were in Trujillo and Huanchaco. And Huanchaco is a beautiful left as well. I think all of Peru is about a left. But we had had a meeting, and we asked. I was with another surfer friend. I was like, "Hey, this meeting, since we have this window, can we have this conversation in a vehicle and drive to Chicama? We would both love to just see the place." And so it was we had a great conversation up and got to Chicama, got out, walked out, and it was small, maybe 2-3 feet, but we didn't have boards, we didn't have time.
Wow.
And you could see how that bay and that point would just hold that wave because these little lines were coming in and they just were not, they were just peel and they just kept on going. So I would have loved to have been able to have more time there and surfed Chicama.
Make sure you go back.
Oh, that bucket list. Definitely a bucket list. So what last minute, what advice would you give to some surfers that were maybe just starting out? What would advice you would share them?
Well, two of my really good friends just died, and I wrote, I write little tiny things based on my experiences, and I started by saying, don't postpone life, because death does not postpone life.
Mm.
So, go surfing. So, for sure, the worst that could happen is that you fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe a word of advice. When you come up, put your hand on top of your head just in case. In fact, next time I'll show you my Phil Edwards glider.
Mm.
There's a big dent in the bottom.
From your head?
From my head. I'm not sure I want to fix it because it's a reminder that sometimes this could get a little dicey. But
yeah.
Go surfing. Mm. Fall. Try it again. The best surfer is the one that's having the most fun.
Mm, that's good advice. That is great advice. Huh. In you know, we're about at the end of our time. In your research and in your reading, have you ever looked back into the history of when surfing began? Have you ever read?
Yeah, actually, I've read a little bit, especially about the Hawaiians having surfed there several times. And also from Skip Funderburg's work about starting surfing here in Wrightsville Beach in the Cape Fear Coast.
Yes, great. If you're listening and would love to read a history book of East Coast surfing and its origin, Skipper Funderburg makes a great argument that it started here.
Mm-hmm.
In the Cape Fear Coast. And what, do you remember the name of the book?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. But Skipper Funderburg.
Mm-hmm.
Worst comes to worst, they Google can write it. You and Google it, and
yeah.
We'll find it for you.
Yeah, it's a great read. I've read through it. Lots of pictures, yeah. Some really cool history. But going back, you know, have you ever read in the Bible?
No.
About surfing.
That I have not, Kyle. So why don't you educate me?
So, you know, often when I ask this question, people are like, oh, yeah, Jesus walked on water. No, that's not it. But in the book of Acts, chapter 27, Paul is heading to Rome. He's on a ship, and it's bad storm. And, I mean, they were in it for days and days and days. They tried to make it to land. They hit a reef. The ship lodges on the reef, and the waves begin to break it apart. And it says that everybody made it safely to shore. It says those that can swim, go ahead and swim to shore. So many did. And then as the ship got broke up, it says people made it to shore on pieces of the ship. But there's the one little phrase that says, and some on boards. And so I might be stretching it. I might be reading into it a little bit. And maybe that's something psychological going on in my brain. But some on boards.
I wonder what brand was it.
I don't know.
Well, whatever. I wish I had one of those.
I know. Hanging on my wall.
Yeah. Well, not only having it on the wall, but you know, reflecting the beauty of surfing and the promise of God all in one time.
Yeah.
Can't get better than that.
Can't get any better than that. Tony, thank you so much for spending this time with us here on the My Wave podcast, and looking forward to seeing you back out in the water, and come on and grab a donut and some Jesus anytime.
Keep surfing, Kyle. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Bye-bye, y'all.